to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Left Traffic Nation? Episode 73 of the Left Traffic Podcast is getting off right now for you guys. I am so pumped for this show. Get to recap MIS weekend. And what a weekend from start to finish. It was incredible. Had so much fun. I'm going to give you guys a quick lowdown of everything but the racing here to start the show. But first, huge thanks and props to Brad and Rick from MIS for their incredible hospitality. Even though he brought the rain, which made for a couple of long days at the track, so glad Sherwin from the PETM podcast came and hung out for the weekend. Big props to Brad and Chloe Yunker for coming and hanging out, and Andrea from Yunker Motorsports. Can't wait to see the vlog that Chloe's going to put together. I know she's working on it as we speak. And of course, huge thanks to Lindsay, NASCAR by Marriage, for putting up with me the last week or so. MIS week is a little stressful with everything that goes on, so big thanks to her as well. So Thursday was supposed to pick up Sherwin at the airport at like 8:30 a.m. I got a text from him somewhere around 7:30 that he missed his flight. And I was like, oh, wow, it's already starting off in the ditch already on Thursday at 7:30 in the morning. Fortunately, though, he was able to get on the next flight out of Atlanta. I ended up picking him up around 11, got back to the house, took him to the local watering hole a few blocks away. Lindsay drove us out to the track to get our credentials, got some grub, checked into the Airbnb, and then the host Thursday night, the Airbnb, took us out on the pontoon boat, had some drinks. Great time to start off the weekend. Friday, we got out to the track, got the show set up, got rolling with interviews. Orange Cone came and crashed the party, as he tends to do. If you haven't checked out the show from Friday, make sure you do. Everyone that was there got a little mic time before the interviews. We kicked it around for about 10 minutes, which was cool. 10:45, got right into interviews Friday morning. Was at Tyler Riddick's hauler for an interview, then had to head back to the media center for an interview with Cole Custer and Matt Tift, then back to the Xfinity garage to talk to Brandon Jones at his hauler, then back to the media center at 1 for an interview with Eric Jones. Connecting, disconnecting, literally running around like a chicken with my head cut off, but everything worked. No technical issues. I always freak out. I mean, I'm not a tech guy, so disconnecting and reconnecting everything, you know, I freak out with all that. But it all worked out good. Got the show posted, packed it up, called it a day when the show was done. Took Sherwin to one of our favorite dinner spots Friday night. Saturday, as you guys know, the radar was not looking so great, and Lindsay kind of thought it was going to be a long day, so she actually decided to go show some support to the Cup race sponsor, Firekeepers Casino, and made a small donation. She dropped us off at the track, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And hashtag blame PETM. But we had a good time. We got to hang out with Jeff Gluck. Got to talk to some of the other beat writers out there. And it's crazy to see what these guys, the struggle is real with these guys when there is a rain delay. I mean, there's only so much tweeting you can do about we've lost the track and the Air Titans are out on the track. Man, those guys, boredom sets in. And I feel for those guys. We ended up doing an impromptu tweet up Saturday, which was cool. Ended up getting a tour of Casey Kane's hauler, which was cool. Then Lindsay came, picked us up. We went back and chilled for a little bit and turned around once we knew they were going to get the Xfinity race going. More food, more drink, of course. Went to dinner with some friends in the Yunkers group on Saturday night, which was cool. And then Sunday, got to the track for the tweet up, which was awesome. Had a great turnout, passed out some free shirts, bunch of koozies, took pictures with followers, which that's a very humbling experience. Let me tell you guys, I love doing that. It's so cool. You guys come up, say hi. Had a blast. Walked around the garage a little bit, went to the media center for the Penske Hall of Fame announcement. And so we're sitting there And Lindsay hits me on the shoulder, and I turn around. It was like, oh, wow. Then I hit Sherwin on his shoulder. He turns around. Freaking Trace Adkins is sitting right behind us, and the three of us are just looking at him at the same time, and he's looking at us, and he puts his fingers to his eyes. He's like, I got my eye on you three. It was pretty funny. Ended up making our way to the press box and waited and waited and waited some more, but finally got to see some racing. Got out of the track in record time, got back, unpacked, and since we had Monday off, we went and closed that same local watering hole that we started out at on Thursday. Monday, took Sherwin to the airport, dropped him off, came home, put the lap traffic studio back together in the NASCAR man came, and boom, here we are. Third show, 7 days. It's been a blast. So what do we got today? Got a big show. John Roberts from Fox's NASCAR Race Hub will be on here in just a couple minutes. Talk about what he's got going on and talk about the racing from MIS. Aaron will be on to talk about what the hell happened this past weekend and what we can expect this weekend at Iowa. I think I've got a new giveaway to announce during the social media segment, so stay tuned for that. Your lucky dog lap down picks and the wave around hotlines full of messages this weekend, fantasy and more. All right. So, I am going to get into a little race talk here. Truck series. So the internet connection at the Airbnb in the middle of nowhere in Brooklyn, Michigan, not the greatest. So unfortunately, it was not able to stream the truck race as planned, but we tried to follow it as much as possible on Twitter. Stage one going to Stuart Friesen. Stage two, Grant Enfinger. And Johnny Sauter brings home the checkered flag again. You know, personally, I kind of like when the truck and Xfinity run at different locations other than where the Cup guys are at. Typically gives a smaller track or a track that doesn't get a chance to feature a NASCAR series, a race. Granted, Texas hosts both, but it's what we'll get this weekend at Iowa, with just the Xfinity series and the truck series, which I think that's pretty cool. That said, Sauter picks up his fourth win. It's crazy. We are into June, and we've only had 8 truck races. It's crazy how they space them out. Doesn't feel like we've only had 8 truck races, but we've only had 8. Sauter has won 50% of them. Not bad. I think his dominance is flying a little under the radar since the truck races are so spaced out. But he has won 2 in a row and 3 of the last 4. Sauter holding a steady point lead, but opening up a nice gap in the playoff points, bringing the total up to 22. If you think about it, Harvick has 26 playoff points in 15 races. Sauter's got 22 and 8, if that means anything to you. Gregson in second with 10 points, and then it falls off a little bit. Moffitt holding strong with 6 playoff points. Truck Saturday night, June 16th at Iowa. Looking very forward to that one, and we'll definitely have a little bit more detailed truck discussion for you guys next week. But under the circumstances of being at the track with the trucks not there, not as detailed, and haven't had time to watch that one back yet. So a little shorter truck series, but that's all right. What do you say we talk to John Roberts here and see what he's got to say about this weekend and what he's got going on?
Yeah.
All right. Joining me on the line, you know him from Fox's NASCAR Race Hub and the author of the great book of NASCAR lists, making his lap traffic debut. Please welcome John Roberts. John, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
Man, all is good. You know, sometimes you got to sit back for a second, and I'm sure you understand this too. Sometimes you got to sit back for a second and understand what we do for a living. And, you know, just how blessed we are to be able to do what we love and talk about a sport that we absolutely love. And it's just such a great opportunity to be able to do that. And, you know, I mean, the good thing about NASCAR is that you can talk about different aspects of it. And whether you agree or disagree, the conversation is always out there and good.
You know, you nailed it on the head there with, you know, just being able to do and talk about what we love. I never thought I'd be as glued to social media as I am with the podcast. Yeah. And just interacting with people on social media, seeing them at the track. Like you said, right or wrong, you can get excited about NASCAR and have enthusiastic debates and conversations. Like you said, it's a sport we love, and it's fantastic. So it's a great way to kick this off, let me tell you.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. It's kind of funny when when social media really wasn't. I mean, we had message boards, and we had other things where fans could interact with us somewhat. And then I just simply didn't understand Twitter. And my coworkers, Kyle Petty and Kenny Wallace, they were working their Twitter accounts all the time. They just kept, they were always looking down at Twitter. And I said, okay, guys, tell me about this. Please explain this to me. How does this work? And so I got my Twitter account. And so once I got a Twitter account, my first tweet was I tweeted out, I said, why does Fred Flintstone order the same set of ribs at the end of every episode when he knows it's going to tip his car over? And I was just trying to be funny, man. I was just trying to make a joke. And it's so funny how many people just said, do you realize that's a cartoon?
Oh, wow.
Yes, I do.
It can get a little interesting out there.
Yeah. But I'm with you, though, 100%, though. We have to embrace this. This is the way of our society right now. Our society, goes and I'm the same way. We just moved into a new house, and we haven't had cable for the past 4 days. But we've had Twitter.
Right.
So we've been able to follow. Yeah, we've been able to follow everything in NASCAR.
Yep.
With the people that we follow.
Sure.
We've been able to follow CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. We have been able, just through our phones and the social media platforms, to know what's going on in the world. So that's a real, I think that's a real positive thing.
Absolutely.
Well, about the whole concept.
If not for social media, we're not talking tonight, and I don't have this platform.
True.
So, for me, there's a ton of negatives, of course, but the positives far outweigh that. So I'm with you.
I think so. I'm with you.
All right, John. So you've been covering NASCAR for a very long time with Fox in a variety of different roles dating back to 2001. You've hosted weekly TV NASCAR shows, some play-by-play, pre- and post-race coverage. Walk us through your career a little bit, how you got things going and eventually got into NASCAR.
Well, I had a very, a very interesting path. I came to Charlotte in 1995.
Okay.
And in 1995, I came up here and I went to work for WBTV and went to work for a guy named Paul Cameron. He said, hey, look, do you have any objections? The guy you're replacing is our motorsports reporter. And I said, no, I have absolutely no objections whatsoever. I'm completely – now, I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So growing up in D.C., we knew who Richard Petty was. We knew who Mario Andretti was. But that's about it.
Sure.
We were much more into the stick and ball sports. But I was, always very fascinated with motorsports. So I said, heck, yeah, I'd be glad to, to investigate it. So I became the motorsports reporter at WBTV. In 95, and in 1996, there was a fellow by the name of Ron Miller, and he was our general manager at WBTV, and he told me that I flat out sucked as a TV guy. I had no future, didn't look good on camera, didn't sound good on camera, and he said, I don't know really what you're doing here, but this job is yours to lose.
Wow.
So what happened was, it's an interesting, things always happen for a reason.
Sure.
So when he told me that, I thought that I was fired, but he never actually came out and said, you're fired.
So you showed up to work the next day.
Yeah. So I said, okay, what? Yeah, I did. I showed up the next day and anchored the local sportscast. And so, I thought, okay, what am I going to do? The only other thing I knew was I'm a woodworker and a construction person, and always worked for landscape companies during the summer. So I started my own landscape company in Charlotte, And cool. So what we used to do was we used to go out at 7:30 in the morning. We'd all meet at 7:30 in the morning. These were me and two guys that I worked with at the TV station. And we go out, we mow grass from 7:30 to 1. And then at 1, we'd all go back to our houses, get cleaned up. And at 3:30, we would go back to the TV station and start working. And so I thought to myself at one point, I am making more money mowing grass than I am on television.
That's crazy.
So, okay, yeah, so be smart about it. Okay, here's what we got to do. So I went to my news director, and I told her, I said, hey, look, I'm quitting. I'm quitting now. And she goes, well, you can't. And I said, well, yes, I can. She goes, no, you can't. And she goes, you're contractually obligated till February. And so I said, okay, well, I'll hang around in February. But when February comes around, I'm going to mow grass. And she goes, you are telling me that you're going to quit anchoring TV shows and go mow grass? And I said, no, you're not understanding it. I'm going to run my landscape company. Other people are going to mow the grass. I'm going to run this damn thing. And so she said, well, I think that's a mistake, and I'm not going to let you do it.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, you have no choice in this matter. And so a couple weeks go by, and do you know John Kernan?
No, I don't.
You know the name John Kernan?
It sounds familiar, but John, no, I don't know him, though.
Yeah. John Kernan was hosting RPM Tonight for ESPN.
Okay.
And I was mowing his lawn. So I'm back there. This is God's honest truth. This is the truth. So I'm mowing his lawn, right? And Kernan comes out and he says, hey, look, Matt Yoakam is going to NBC and we need a motorsports reporter for RPM Tonight.
Wow.
And I want you to do it. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh, hallelujah. I'm going to work for ESPN. This is freaking great. This is great, right?
Right.
So we go through the whole thing and go through the whole process. And there's a fellow by the name of Barry Sachs calls me up. And he says, hey, he's got this thick New York accent. He goes, hey, John, Barry Sachs. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I know who Barry Sachs is. And he's calling me up. I'm thinking, okay, Barry Sachs just called me. Hallelujah. I'm working for ESPN. Goodbye, lawnmowers.
Right.
This is it.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, you must be a pretty good guy. And I go, well, I hope so. And he goes, everybody on my staff is going to bat for you.
That's awesome.
And so I'm thinking, okay, great. Because, right. And then this is another thing. Everybody on the ESPN staff in Charlotte, I had either mowed their lawn or built their deck.
That's great.
I just built decks too. So I built, producer's deck and, mowed Kernan's lawn and all these guys. So I think I'm in, right?
Right.
I think this is Barry Sachs is telling me you're in. And so, no, but he says, no, he says, you must be a pretty good guy, but I'm hiring Mike Massaro. Now, do you remember that name?
I do remember that one. Yes.
Okay. Yep. He said, but I'm hiring Mike Massaro. He's got more experience than you do.
Wow.
And I mean, talk about
right,
like getting kicked square in the crotch.
Right.
Oh, I said, oh,
that had to be deflating.
Man, very thank you. So he said, hey, look, man, if you want to be on, if you want to do ESPN News, I can put you on the news right now.
Wow.
And I said, no, I don't want to move to Bristol. No, he said, we got to move to Bristol. So I can put you on ESPN News right now.
Wow.
But I'm hiring Mike Massaro for the motorsports reporter job. And so I go, oh, man. Thanks. But so then I go back into my news director in Charlotte and I say, hey, look, I'm really quitting now. I'm really done with television.
It's done.
I've had enough of this. That was just a kick in the pills like you wouldn't believe. And so this gets even more interesting. So I tell my coworkers, at WBTV, the guys I'm really close to.
Sure.
Really close to these guys. And I say, you know what, guys? I'm freaking done. I could not have been closer. I mean, I can't have any more of a chance to get hired by ESPN, but I didn't get the gig. So, look, that's it. That's a sign. I quit. I'm right. done. Done with TV. And so a couple days later, it's raining outside, so I'm not mowing grass because it's raining.
Right.
And my phone rings. And a guy goes, hey, how would you like to host a pre-race show for the Fox Network?
Nice.
And my initial response was, I mean, what I wanted to say was, I thought it was my buddy Clinton Charlie. I said, you know, I thought they were just messing with me. I said, Clinton Charlie, Ribbon. Take your job and shove it up your, you know. Why are you messing with me? Why? You know, they know I'm mad.
Right,
they
yeah.
They know I'm mad about
just,
this thing.
They're just twisting that knife a little harder in the rib.
So I very, very sarcastically said, okay, guys, tell me about this job.
Right.
And there was a long pause. I said, well, it's a 20-week handshake agreement.
Wow.
to do a pre-race show on the Fox Sports Net. On remember that baby? There was
yeah,
Fox
oh, yeah.
Sports
yeah,
Net.
Yeah, Fox Net. Yeah.
There was
yeah.
Fox Sports Net. And I said, and so then I paused and I said, oh my God, they would need a schmuck like me. You know, they would need the lawnmower from Charlotte to do a 20-week handshake agreement. Nobody else would do it.
Right, right.
I mean, nobody with any credentials would do that for 20 weeks and no contract. So I said, well, guys, let's do it. Let's you know, I'm good. Let's go.
Let's get it rolling.
And so what happened was this is over Christmas time. And so I go back in to my news director and I said, hey, look, I'm still quitting,
but
I'm quitting to go do a, you know, a national TV show. So she calls the Charlotte Observer, our local newspaper.
Yep.
And boy, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Saturday morning. Front page of the sports section of the Charlotte Observer. I get at my house. Big old picture of me. A local boy going to national TV show.
Nice.
So I'm pretty jacked, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. Well, I go into the office Monday morning, and my message light is flashing. And I pick it up, and it says, John, again, with a thick New York accent. John, this is Lou D'Amelio from Fox Sports PR New York. Call me at your earliest convenience. And so I think, you know, man, this nice guy, this right. nice fella is calling to welcome me aboard, right? He's calling to welcome me aboard.
Something tells me there's so a butt to this story coming up soon.
Oh, yeah. So I dial the phone, right? I dial him up, and he says, I have two questions for you. Who the blank are you, and why the blank are you telling the Charlotte Observer you work for my network?
Wow.
So my first inclination is to say, oh, it's your network, you PR flunky. Look.
Right, yeah.
So I said, sir, because I do. And he goes, no, you don't.
Wow.
I said, well, I said, who hired you? And I said, NASCAR Media Group. And he goes, I don't know who that is.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, I know who it is. He said, well, who's your contract with? I said, we don't have a contract. It's a 20-week handshake agreement. And he goes, look, man, we have one contract signed, and it's with Daryl Waltrip. And the rest of you guys, I can't figure you clowns out.
Wow.
You all think you have something going on that you don't have going on.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, can you talk about another wow. kick square in the crotch?
Wow. Yeah. That's, I'd have crawled into a corner so, and like just curled up in a fetal position for about a month with that.
Oh, man. So I was like, what do I do? What do I do? So I called the guys from NASCAR Media Group, and I said, hey, man, this guy just called me up and tells me I'm not working for you. And they said, well, we got a problem here. They told us, so you damn oh, right yeah, you do. Because yeah. I just quit my job.
Right?
And I'm supposed to be working for you. So they said, okay, they told us to hire talent. We hired talent, and now they're backing off.
Wow.
But they just said, hey, we need to take the guys you hired, and we need to do a screen test. And if we approve them, we'll go forward. And so I said, oh, okay, well, guys, you know, whatever you got to do, let's just, I mean, this is crazy because I need to have a job.
Right?
I need to work. I need to know what's going on. So it was me, Derek Cope, Billy Engel, and Steve Wade.
Okay.
And we go into this little studio that does not have air conditioning. It's hotter than two rats in a wool sock. And this is the first time in my life I had ever done a television show without a teleprompter. There's no scripts. It's all ad lib. And so I said, okay, so it's the first time in my life I've ever been nervous in front of a TV camera.
I bet.
And so we do this fake show. They approve us. We do one program. The second program we do, Earnhardt dies.
Oh.
So 2001.
That's a time frame. All right. That's all right.
February 17th, 2001. Our second program, Earnhardt, died. We still, at this point, hold a certain record for the highest rated cable studio show.
Wow.
Ever done.
That's crazy.
On a sports network.
That's crazy.
Because of Earnhardt died. Because here we all sitting there. And we all lost a buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, we all loved him. I mean, he lives. I'm sitting right now. His crib where he lived is 5 miles down the road.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I'm 5 miles away from where he lived. And so we did that program, and so that little 20-week handshake agreement. That was 18 years ago, and we're still going.
That's awesome, man. That's
so sorry,
cool,
man. It took me a long time to get there.
I enjoyed listening to all of that. That's a hell of a story, and
thank you very much
I'm glad you. I know the listeners are going to like that too. I'm glad you shared that.
So, I hope they do,
yes.
Because it's all the God's honest truth, and it's all the way this whole thing.
I think that's
came
what makes that. That's you know. That's going to have passion behind it, so I love it. Talk a little bit about Race Hub and what goes into producing that and doing that.
Well, Race Hub is Race Hub is more, I think, these days has become a little bit more about our wonderful producers and editors. I mean, our guys put so much effort into that show during the weekday. To make sure that there's video to back up what goes on there. And I don't get to do Race Up very much.
Okay.
It's, you know, maybe these days, maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay.
But when I do get to do it, man, we have, you know, it's kind of funny. They call us people that are in front of the camera. They call us talent. And I've always had a little bit of problem with that because the talent, I think, is these guys that are making these, you know, they call them glitzes. I never liked that word, glitzes, but those little video bump-ins, you know,
sure.
That have the, you know, the different video on them and the way the cameramen shoot the video and the way the guys edit it up is, you know, is just spectacular these days. They have great tools at their disposal. So I think what makes Race Hub go is not only, you know, those guys that are behind the scenes, they're fantastic, but our boss, Steve Craddock, he wanted to make Race Hub be relevant. So we don't have guys that drove a car 5 years ago. We have guys that come right. We have Chad Knaus, Brad Keselowski, Regan Smith, list goes on, David Reagan, Drew Blickensterfer. These guys jump out of their race shops,
yep.
That are in the midst of this sport, that know so much more than I would ever possibly know in any way, shape, or form about this sport. And they, you know, and they come down to our studio and they do these shows with us. And, it educates us. It educates the heck out of me.
Sure.
To sit around and talk to these guys. And, you know, and I, you know, I love all those guys, but I have to tell you, honestly, I'm a little bit, just a little bit biased, a little bit partial when Brad Keselowski and Chad Knaus come down. These are two guys that are not afraid to speak their minds, and a 5-minute conversation with them, you know, teaches me more than, you know, 2 hours of running around the racetrack. Well, hey, these guys are fantastic.
We heard Brad this weekend talk about the Xfinity package, which I want to get to that in a minute, but I want to get one more history question, so to speak.
Sure.
Your book, tell us a little bit about that. It's not your typical narrative story. Tell everyone a little bit about the book and what sparked that whole process there for you.
Well, my sister is a ghostwriter. Cool. She has ghostwritten about 13 books. And so she came to me and she said, hey, you need to write a NASCAR book. And I said, well, you know, there's probably about 100 people in this world that are more qualified than me to write a NASCAR book. And she goes, no, you're selling yourself short. So I said, okay, here's the book I want to write. I want to write a book about the rags to riches, about these guys that, like Carl Edwards, you know, Carl Edwards didn't have a pot to pee in.
Yep. Yep.
He was a substitute teacher, and Tony Stewart worked at Burger King. And so I want to write these stories. So I wrote what was called a treatment, you know, a basic thing.
Yep.
So she took it to her publisher. And the publisher said, yeah, but what really sells for us is these books of lists. And so I said, okay, I don't want to do a top 10 list because that's somebody else's.
Sure.
You know, there's another late night comedian that's kind of patented right. That. You know, that's not my thing.
Right.
I can't. He said, and so the publisher, the publisher said, no, it's not a top 10 list. It's whatever list you want. It can be 3, it can be 100, it can be 50, but that's what we want you to do. That's the book we want you to write. And if you write it and we sell it, we'll let you do the one you want to do.
Okay.
And so I said, okay, cool. So I got together with my sister, and we had a really, really good time doing it. It's a list. I mean, it's one of those books that it's good for somebody that doesn't want to sit down and read a whole novel.
Sure.
It's quick hits, you know, it's quick hits. So you can see who our 5 greatest crew chiefs are. You can see who our 50 greatest drivers are. You can see who our 3 closest finishes are. And then we get a little humorous on there. We can see who the 3 most obnoxious t-shirts ever seen at a racetrack. So you can, you can just keep going.
That had to be fun to nail there. That list down.
Yeah. So we went to a second printing. We sold out the first printing.
Nice.
And we went to a second printing. And so I'm still waiting, and I'm kind of hoping. I'd like to do the Rags to Riches book eventually.
Sure.
But I had a really, really great time doing the book of lists.
That's
it
awesome.
It was fun.
Very
cool. It was really fun.
Very cool. All right. Let's talk a little racing from this weekend. MIS, it's big for the manufacturers. It's big for me because it's my home track. Xfinity Series was the talk of the garage this weekend with everybody. You know, the plate package that they tested at Pocono, you know, maybe didn't go as planned, or they didn't get the reception they were maybe hoping for. So they did it again this weekend. Big 2-mile track. What was your take on the rained, shortened race that we got to see Saturday?
Well, I have to tell you very honestly, one of the gentlemen in this world that I respect more than anybody else is Roger Penske. And Roger Penske always says his business philosophy is under promise and oversell. Don't over promise and undersell.
Absolutely.
And I feel like the package over promises and undersells.
Yep.
I don't think it did what it did. And again, if another person I have incredible respect for, I must quote again on this, because these are the guys that are driving these cars, Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski said, look, that was a good thing at one in one situation.
Yep.
In one, well, actually, let me correct that. In two situations, when it was at Indy, in the Xfinity Series, we had a great race. When it was at the All-Star Package, we had a great race. But you can't just continue to put that package in. And I think, again, Brad hit it right on the nose. We need to make these cars difficult to drive.
Yeah.
The cars can't be easy to drive. And what that package does is it makes these cars easier to drive. So you're going around, I mean, a wonderful racetrack like Michigan that was, again, you know, that's Roger Penske's place. Right. That's the epitome of our sport. That's the highest amount of respect you can get.
Sure.
Don't dumb it down. Make it difficult. Make it harder. Don't make it easier. And then therefore make the better drivers rise to the top. Make the better drivers show what they have. I love Michigan for many, many reasons. I love the area around there. I love Ann Arbor. I love University of Michigan.
Sure, go Blue.
And by the way, just as a side note, I really, really love the wine bar Vinology.
Oh, yes, yes.
But yeah,
I've been there.
I love Vinology. Don't make this easy. Don't make this easy to supposedly make the competition better. Make it more difficult for the best drivers in the world to because I think honestly when we this is my, I hate to say this because but it's the truth, this is my 28th year of covering NASCAR. I never thought there was anything wrong with competition on the racetrack. I have never thought that there is any trouble with the passing or anything. What people like to do is they like to go out there, they like to cuss the drivers they dislike, they like to cheer the drivers they like. And I don't think if we continue to worry about how many times one guy passes another guy, let them go out there, make the cars difficult to drive, and let them eat, let them go, let them see who can figure it out, because these are brilliant people. And let's back off on the packages and the restrictor plates and I just say let's back off from that. Let's put stock cars out there. Let the guys go. Now I understand we can't have them go too fast. We do have to stop them from going too fast.
Sure,
because that's a safety issue.
Yep,
it's a safety issue for the fans and for the drivers. I do not want to see anybody get hurt.
Right,
let's come up with one package. Let's let them eat. Let's let these guys figure out who's going to be better where, and let's let them race.
I can't agree with you more in that regard. In that, let's fix the car. Let's not manufacture what we think is going to be a good race. Let's let it be a natural race, but by fixing it, it's almost, to me, it seems like a Band-Aid, so to speak. Like, we're not putting butts in the seats. We're not getting the ratings. We know the casual fan likes to see a big one. So it almost feels like they want to manufacture a big one. Now,
we don't want to do that because we don't want to get anybody hurt.
Exactly.
But by the same token, though, that the cars are very good. But this is one example I always like to tell race fans when they ask me about the sport. Is I was fortunate enough to over the years I covered four Super Bowls.
Nice.
Three of my four Super Bowls that I went to as a media representative sucked. They were awful.
Right.
They were one sided.
That's the big critique. It's the conference championships that are the exciting ones.
Yeah. So, so all these people went to the Super Bowl. No one went out there and told the NFL, "Hey, look, man, you absolutely have to have next year, have to have the NFC quarterback play with his left hand taped behind his back so we have a better product on the field."
Right.
No, we have free market competition. We have, you guys go out there. We have 11 dudes on this side, 11 dudes on that side. Go have at it. And if someone's better than you and they blow you out in the Super Bowl, go back and work harder.
Right.
Go back. Yeah, go back and get better. So when one team is kicking everybody's ass, I mean, Hendrick was for years. Look at Hendrick now.
Yeah.
They're terrible right now. They can't hit their butts with two hands. So let them eat. You know, let them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Competition take care of itself.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, I think it. You know, like Brad's, I think it comes down to the cars in terms of how they're built, not a plate limiting the airflow to bunch everybody up there.
Yes, yes. Let them go. Yeah. Let them race.
I am with you. All right, John. What's you mentioned maybe another book. Any future projects that are definitely in the works for you?
Well, I'm not too sure if we can get the other book done. But, you know, the one thing we have been doing recently, which I'm kind of proud of, myself and my wife, we started a real estate company.
Awesome.
And we represent a lot of drivers and a lot of people in the NASCAR business. And I'm from a construction background. You know, I'm from a I'm a builder.
Sure.
By heart. And I'm a little too old and too fat to be schlepping boards around anymore. So we start a little company called Anchor Real Estate, and we represent a lot of NASCAR people, and we've had a great deal of success here in Mooresville. And so as long as I possibly can do, you know, the TV for Fox, I'd love to do it. But I think in the future, we may be, you know, hanging out here in Mooresville and, you know, working on property with these guys.
Excellent. Excellent. John, tell everyone where they can follow you to keep up with you and all that good stuff.
At the Johnny TV is the Twitter handle. The email, I mean, I'm sorry, the website is the Roberts Team.
Excellent.
At anchorre.com. And we're easy to find.
Excellent.
Really easy to find.
Awesome. Well, John, I couldn't tell you how much I enjoyed this conversation. It was a lot of fun to talk to you. Glad you came on the show.
Yeah, thank you, because I really enjoyed going back over the whole thing again, because it really is a wacky way that
cool
things come
together.
It's a cool story,
man. Thanks for coming on. Big thanks, Fox's John Roberts. Thanks for coming on the show, and we need to do this again sometime.
Yeah, please do. Anytime.
Absolutely.
Be glad to.
Awesome. Thanks,
anytime.
Man.
Thank you.
That may have been one of the coolest interviews ever. Like, just so laid back. That was a real fun interview. I hope you guys enjoyed that story from John. That was a blast. I really am going to look forward to talking to him again in the near future. All right. Speaking of Xfinity, as we talked about there for a little bit, Kyle Busch, stage one, Elliott Sadler, stage two, and Austin Dillon wins a shortened race at MIS. Finally got it going after a long rain delay. As I mentioned earlier, a few minutes ago with John, this was the talk of the race weekend, the Xfinity package and all that. I think the race would have played a little different. I think there would have been a different outcome if they had been able to get the whole thing in, which maybe distorts things a little bit. You know, I wonder if we would have gotten that big one and how much that might have changed people's perspective. You know, there's a good chance if that big one would have happened, it would have piqued interest. And there's also a lot of people out there that if that big one had happened, I think it would have had a little bit more negative impact on everybody's perspective. For me personally, you heard me talk about it a few minutes ago, you know, from a fan perspective at MIS that has watched a lot of strung out races at MIS, I can see where people maybe enjoyed that a little bit better. You know, slower speeds, you know, all that. But again, you know, we're manufacturing something that isn't natural. Race cars are meant to go fast, and we slowed them down and grouped them up there. You know, and there's talk. There is talk. I have heard it talk about in the garage by credible people that depending on how the Xfinity race went on Saturday, that they might be racing that package in the Cup Series in August. You know, I think that would be a little bit too premature to go and start throwing that on the Cup things. Like, let's fix the cars, I think. Let's have better quality races that aren't manufactured from that regard. But, you know, if this is NASCAR's fix in the meantime, you know, we're going to watch it. We're diehard fans, right? That's why you're listening to the Lap Traffic Podcast and taking this in from an enjoyment and entertainment perspective. You're a diehard race fan if you're listening to this for, you know, tons of other news sources out there for the sport. You know, so we're going to watch regardless. And we'll roll with the punches and see what happens with it. You know, not your typical race for Elliott Sadler. 30th place finish. Mr. Consistency was not consistent after winning stage two. Looked to be a serious contender until he got in it with Bowman, scraped the wall. A little uncharacteristic-like for Elliott Sadler there with how that whole situation went down. Some decent finishes by some Xfinity regulars, considering they were racing against a few Cup guys and the likes of race winner Austin Dillon, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Paul Menard, some lap traffic alums and guests from Friday. Cole Custer rocked it out, finished third. Tyler Riddick finished seventh. Matt Tiff, 16th. And Brendan Jones finished 18th. So I don't think I jinxed those guys too bad. Great day for RCR, finishing 1-2, something RCR needs, I think, regardless of the series, to give that team a much-needed jolt and momentum boost with Dylan winning and Daniel Hemric finishing second. The standings, even though Sadler had a bad finish there, still holding on to a 41-point lead behind with Cole Custer behind him and Daniel Hemric in third, Tyler Riddick in fourth, Chris Bell fifth in the standings. Xfinity Series will be back this weekend on Sunday, the feature on Father's Day. Typical race for MIS is Father's Day, but they're off. Xfinity Series will hold the feature on Sunday afternoon at Iowa. All right, over to the Cup. Ryan Blaney, stage one. Kevin Harvick, stage two. And Clint Bowyer picks up win number two. As you guys know, I was chomping at the bit there the last few laps of the race. Not going to lie, I was hoping for a caution at lap 118, knowing they would run two caution laps before they brought the cars down to pit road to make it official with Harvick in the lead. But that's a fan in me. That's the fan. However, the podcaster in me is very happy for Clint Bowyer. I'm a big Clint Bowyer fan. Very deserving after the struggling season he had in 2016 with H. Scott. And then last year, new team, new manufacturer. There was still a struggle for Clint Bowyer in 2017. There were definitely people asking whether Clint was done or if he had another win in him. Well, he's got two in 2018, proving to be the number two car behind Kevin Harvick at Stewart Haas. And what a dominating day for Stewart Haas Racing, finishing 1, 2, and 3 with Bowyer, Harvick, and Kurt Busch. And not a bad day, all things considering, for Almirola, finishing 11th. Six Fords in the top eight. Elliott being the highest Chevy with his 9th place finish, and Kyle being the best Toyota with his 4th place finish. To be fair, though, for Kyle Busch, hell of a ride making it from the back with a 4th place finish in a rain-shortened race at MIS. That gets a little strung out there, as we all know. How about that pre-race interview with Kevin and Kyle? Definitely looks like those two have buried the hatchet and have developed some good camaraderie there between those guys. I love it. Those two guys, big competitors. And that was fun to see those two on TV there for a little bit. The Michigan natives still remain winless in the Cup Series at MIS. Brad Keselowski finished 6th, and Eric Jones, who also came on the show Friday, wrapped up the top 15. Kyle Busch still holding on to a first place points lead with a 75 point lead over Kevin Harvick, but Kevin Harvick has a 1 point playoff lead over Kyle Busch. Truex is in third with 13 playoff points, and Clint Bowyer, 4th in the playoff standings with his 10 playoff points there. And Joey Logano wraps out the top 5 with 7 in the playoff points. Cup guys are off this week. We'll be back on the 24th for our first road course of the season. Very excited about that. You know, I think that's why everyone gets so excited about tracks like Martinsville, Sonoma, Watkins Glen, because the car isn't what matters. It's the driver. And that's what we like. That's what we talk about that we want. So I think that's why we get so excited about these few races in the season, like Sonoma, Watkins Glen, Martinsville. So I'm very excited for Sonoma. Well, this closes out MIS week. Despite the weather, the rain-shortened races, it was another incredible experience at the track with the show. Got to see some people I haven't seen since last August. Met some new faces, both fans of the show and some people in the garage. Hung out with a great group of people all weekend. So cheers, glasses up to another race weekend, and I cannot wait for August. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for some social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And as always, follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you are auto-downloading, auto-subscribing to the show on Podbean, iTunes, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it, it's out there. I got a new giveaway tonight, which I am really excited about, closing out MIS weekend. I've got a Fire Keepers Casino t-shirt, a Fire Keepers Casino 400 hat, and an 8x10 autograph of race winner Clint Bowyer. A little old school picture of him, too. And that is going to go to one lucky Twitter follower when the Lapped Traffic PC Twitter account hits 3,000 followers, which is under like 200. I want to say it's more like 160 followers away. So hopefully I will be able to give that away before next week's show. So when you see that, make sure you retweet that and tell all of your friends. Some new follower shout-outs on Twitter. Crisp Bacon at Cheftel from New York. Big fan of Modified Legends and late model racing. Cassandra at Myers. A Cassandra from Ohio. Big racing fan. Fast Cars, Fast Girls at Fast Cars in 317. That 317, a tribute to the area code for Indy. They are an IndyCar podcast. Go check them out. They were on PETM a couple weeks ago. Great show there. Darren at D Clark G23 from South Carolina, big NASCAR fan. Dustin Albino at Dustin Albino from the Front Stretch. And a big wrestling fan, and I think he might be on the show soon. Talk a little wrestling and racing. I mean, what two better things are there? Dan at Midtown Express from Tennessee loves NASCAR, the Preds, and country music. I think those three things just go hand in hand if you're from Tennessee. Darren at DDaves88, who is also a Dillon fan, so I'm sure he was happy on Saturday. Shout outs to everyone that was at the tweet up and said hi over the weekend. Tone at Tomahawks47, saw him a few times over the weekend. Jeff at Grey Wolfpack 5 was at the tweet up. Awesome catching up with Jeff. Aaron Bearden, got to meet him for the first time at Aaron Bearden 93. Tom at Big Homer Fan. Zach Lesway at ZLess55. It was awesome hanging out with Jeff Gluck. Bob Pockress, and there were a bunch of others, and shame on me for not having a pad of paper to write down your names and Twitter accounts over the weekend. I obviously forgot some of those, so I apologize if I missed you. I will definitely correct that little blip error on my part in August, and will definitely make sure I've got everyone's names that I meet up with over the weekend. Let's see. Don't forget about the Amazon portal on the website. The website's got the store. If you want to get a Lap Traffic t-shirt, sweatshirt, tank top, mugs, you name it, it's out there. Help support the show. Handed out a ton of stickers and koozies and t-shirts over the weekend, which was awesome. Hope to see some new pictures come my way on Twitter. And all of the pictures that I took or that NASCAR by Marriage took this weekend are already up on the website. So if you want to see all the shenanigans that occurred, go check out the Lap Traffic Podcast. Click on the photos link and see some pictures from this weekend. That said, I think it is time for some weather. Let's get Aaron on the line here. They were busy this weekend. That's all I'm going to say. We'll get to that here with Aaron here in just a second. So it's time for some weather for this weekend at Iowa. All right, back again to talk some weather. You can follow him on Twitter at raceweather.net. Or I'm sorry, at raceweather. Website raceweather.net for all the updates as we get closer to race weekend. Mr. Aaron Studwell, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I'm kind of debating here. Am I going to go race at race burgers or at race pancakes?
Oh, man, maybe. That's a tough one there.
Yeah. What's my preference? Burgers, I guess. At race burger.
At race burgers.
I should actually go out and get that.
That would be funny. That's really funny. All right, man. So you and Brian put in some overtime this weekend, man. Talk about what happened this weekend. Rain, cold, Yeah, we got it all at the track.
We did get it all. I tweeted this yesterday. I think I've done this for 15. This is my 15th season. I honestly think this is the busiest. And this was considering that Brian and I were sharing and trading off and collaborating. This just had to be the absolute busiest I can ever remember being for a very specific race weekend, where it's at one site. And maybe because it is MIS and because it is a kind of my Michigan home track after going to Ann Arbor, but instead of really caring about it. But the weather didn't help.
No, no. The truck race Friday night was all right.
Yeah, there's that. We do have that.
But yeah, I mean, it was unseasonably cold out there. The sun did come out for a peak on Saturday to get the track dry and help get that Xfinity race started a little quicker than they anticipated. But I mean, Friday was a beautiful day out there. But then, man, it just switched quick, man.
Yeah, I was impressed. And I think I'd mentioned that how quickly they did get the track back on Saturday. But and then even on Sunday, we had rain and then delays and then came back. And then really up until it was over, it was all good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, shortened races are never fun, but at least we got to see racing. It's shortened races are better than no racing. So,
right. Or having to go back and a lot of people can't go back on a Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would not have been able to make it back out there. So no, I'm glad we got it in. Was there anything that, I know you had, when you were on the show last week, you had said that, have some patience, maybe bring a poncho. Sunday was looking like awesome. And then it just kind of carried over. What happened in the forecast there?
It was actually a separate system came through quicker than we thought, because we knew there was going to be that chance of rain on Saturday. There's actually a trailing system behind that. We honestly thought, even up until Friday, that, okay, maybe a 10% chance of showers on Sunday, but I wake up Sunday morning and I'm like, or even maybe going to bed Saturday night looking, I was like, oh, this isn't good. And Brian and I are going back and forth. It's like, well, do we start reducing the odds of racing? And we're like, yeah, we think we'd be better. And then, technically, we raced.
Right.
Technically, it went to an official race.
Yes.
So, but it wasn't without delays and it wasn't without issues. And it was just a low-pressure center that was moving across, out of the Corn Belt and across northern Illinois into Indiana. And just had enough moisture with it. And you could actually see it on the radar a lot in the bands moving in from the southwest with that rotation around it. And that may have been, there's some drier being drawn in earlier. And people are like, oh, look, it's falling apart. And like, I wouldn't go that far yet. It's really, people can't just read the radar. And we have people say, oh, look, the radar is falling apart. It's like, there's a lot more going on than just saying, oh, look, it's falling apart on the radar, because this whole system is translating. It's not just like a low sitting over Chicago. The low is moving. The upper level flow is moving. The dry air that was over the track Sunday morning that really caused some of the earlier showers to weaken and dissipate, that moved east as well. And by the end of the race, it was over Ontario. And we just had this big, really moist air, nothing stability from the low. And we just triggering showers, and then a lot cooler temperatures came in than I would have thought as well.
Yeah, it was. I mean, to see people wearing hoodies and jackets at MIS is just something you don't see very often. So
no. And I was going back and forth with a couple of people. It's like the time I've been there, it was, you had that haze. It was June. You had the haze. Yes. The rain stayed away. But I was up in turn four and could barely see the turn one and into turn two because of the haze.
Yep.
This time it was just cold, wet, rainy, something maybe more April than June.
Absolutely. All right. So Cup is off this weekend, but we still got two races with Truck and Xfinity at Iowa. What can we expect for this weekend?
Oh, the exact opposite.
All right.
It's going to
missed
be mostly
it by
sunny.
1 week.
Yeah, I know. Well, also depends where you're at. And this may be a case of careful what you wish for. Mostly sunny skies, but it's a night race for the trucks and a 5 o'clock start on Father's Day, which is nice. I mean, a little bit later, so you get the family time and you wrap it up with dinner around the table in NASCAR. So it's a great place to watch. I don't say it's on my bucket list. I think it'll be a fun place to see a race. There are places that I want to see, like Richmond.
Sure.
Bristol Night Race.
Yeah.
Those are bucket list races. But if I'm in Iowa or I'm in our, you know, if I'm in the area, I say, you know what, in the racing, I'd even go see like a K&N series there. I think it's just a fun place to see a race.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
To the weather, mostly sunny or mostly clear for the night race. Highs in the low to mid 90s.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. The Saturday heat index will max out about 100 in Newton. For Sunday, that's going to be the low one in the low 100s, around 103, 104 for the heat index.
Wow.
About 4 o'clock.
It's going to be hot in them cars.
It's going to be brutal hot in the cars and in the stands. Yeah, emphasis to, you know, the fans, the crew, the drivers, stay hydrated.
Absolutely.
And if you're out there during the day and just walking around and just taking it all in, sunscreen.
Oh, yeah.
So this isn't going to be a poncho forecast. It'll be a sunscreen forecast.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. That's awesome.
Nah.
Excellent. All righty. Well,
one thing I do want to thank you. Yes. One thing I do want to capture, and you noticed it, and Brian and I pointed it out at Sabazur, it's when our fans and our followers pointed out as well, that's why we're doing this. Coca-Cola Racing actually gave us a shout out. During the rain delay, take a moment to refresh and share a Coke with Race Weather at Race Weather. Great job keeping everyone in the know at MI Speedway.
That's so awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, I got that. I'm like, okay, that's really cool.
That's so cool.
And one other thing about the racing.
Yes.
And I tweeted this as well. I've been looking for a new driver since Ward Burton retired.
Yeah. Did you find one?
I have one. And we actually started the conversation this season about this. I didn't have a new driver.
Yeah.
I have one. Clint Bowyer.
Excellent.
My God. If I could party with anybody when they win, like he parties.
It's not a boring party celebration, I bet. That is definitely someone you want to go have a beer with for sure.
Yeah, the look on his face when he gave the thumbs up, and this is what's classic about social media. I actually wrote, I haven't had a favorite driver since at Ward Burton, so his Wild Eye Foundation retired.
Nice.
Ward Burton liked it.
No, that's awesome. Nice.
That's even better.
Oh, that's a cool story. All right, everyone, make sure you are following Aaron at Race Weather on Twitter. Check out raceweather.net for updates throughout the week. Sir, blast as always. Thanks for the update, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Thanks, man. You too. Always awesome to have Mr. Studwell on. Very informative, very entertaining, as always. All right, it is time to move to everyone's favorite segment. It's time for some lucky dog picks. Make sure you send your picks to me after the race. You can tweet them at LapTrafficPC, or you can call and leave your message on the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538, and I will play them back. All right, I'm going to get right into my lucky dog of the race. And my lucky dog of the race is me and the clan that was out at the race this weekend. Just had an awesome experience and an awesome time at MIS. So I'm giving myself the lucky dog. So I'm going Homer and giving it to myself. My lap down is Mother Nature and hashtag the Blame PETM Jinx. It is obviously a thing. Obviously, it's a thing. All right, over to some tweeted responses. Mike at MikeTuck12's lucky dog, Bowyer. No way he wins this race if it finishes. Lap down is Reagan, just being in the right spot at the wrong time. David at DFlint 14's lucky dog is the combo of Bugga Mike and Bowyer. Great pit call and way to drive it like you stole it. That pit definitely made the difference. Took two tires. Harvick took four. That was it. Lap down is Roush Fenway Racing. Michigan used to be a track where Roush was unbeatable. What changed? And to make things rougher, Kenseth steps aside for 3 months. Not ideal. You know, you go from a strong team with Biffle, Kenseth, and Edwards to a two-car team with Stenhouse and Bain. Not that I'm saying they're not good, but not your typical caliber team, and they just haven't adjusted with the competition. Noah at N, Dusty underscores Lucky Dog, Boyer for having Mother Nature on his side. Lap down, Larson wanted him to win. Yeah, it's great. Larson was a non-factor in this race, you know. Definitely, he was the call by many people to get four in a row at MIS, but just did not happen. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog, Boyer and Mother Nature. Lap down, Almirola, bad luck, bad time. Jeff at Gray Wolfpack 5's Lucky Dog, Boyer. He's lucky Harvick raced him like a teammate and didn't wreck him. A lap down, Mother Nature for helping Boyer steal a win from Harvick. Darren at D Clark G23's Lucky Dog, NASCAR fans everywhere. Anytime Clint wins, it's a fun time to see what he is going to say and do. Can't agree with you more there, sir. Lap down, anyone not driving a Ford? Only one car in the top eight, not with a blue oval. Definitely. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick. Lucky Dog has to be Boyer, right call. Lap down, Sadler wrecked himself and then blamed Bowman. Yeah, that was a little uncharacteristically there of Mr. Sadler. Eddie at Eddie underscore EG3's Lucky Dog. The fans at MIS didn't see full distance of either race, but got to see strategy play out. Lap down, Sadler beef with Bowman under caution. Should be penalties for that kind of stuff. Brett at B Wayne 8589 Lucky Dog, Clint Boyer for a bold move on pit road to take the lead, which led to the win. Lap down, PETM podcast for bringing more rain to the track. And from the PETM podcast, Lucky Dog lapped traffic PC at pregame engineer at B Yunker 30 at Chloe Yunker at the Orange Cone and at MI Speedway for getting to see most of the races. Great run, and all the other awesome fans who stuck it out. Lap down, he's giving it to himself at pregame engineer for always bringing rain to the track. All right, I asked for some messages on the Wave Around Hotline, and you guys delivered. It's time to get to some calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, what's up? It's Andrew, Twitter handle at Cancian. Another race that Sherwin goes to and it rains, so I think I'm going to rethink going to any race that he attends this year just to be safe for myself. Anyway, not a bad race, to be honest with you, I thought, for Michigan standards. The rain really screwed everyone over, not in terms of people getting screwed, but I think that really affected the rubber that was laid down, which is why the group barely widened out with all the rain, so... That's going to be my lap down, is the amount of rain really affecting the racing in terms of rubber getting laid down. In terms of a lucky dog, I got to say it's Bugga and Clint Boyer, because that was a ballsy-ass move on two tires, which really didn't work out too well that we saw. So they made that work. And also, I'm going to put myself as my lucky dog, since I walked home, bombed a couple days ago, saw a skunk, and didn't get sprayed, so... Really dodged a bullet on that one, man. Thanks, bud. Have a good one.
Oh, I love it when Andrew calls and leaves a message. You never know what you're going to get, but he made some good points there with the rain. You know, the track just wasn't able to widen out there like we would have liked to have seen, and could have been very interesting with a little bit wider groove there on Saturday with the package that they were running. And Sherwin, man, you're getting called out on lap traffic tonight by many, many people. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon and Lap Traffic Nation. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. Wow, you guys really lucked out in at least getting some part of that race in. It really sucks to be a race fan with rain on race day, but... sometimes it, you know, when the crew chiefs see that big green, yellow, red blob headed towards the track, it really does throw in some interesting strategy that goes on. So at least that kind of makes it interesting. And I thought the race was fine. I don't really have any negative things to say about it. As far as my lucky dog, I'm going to give it to Clint Boyer. Not only just for the win yesterday, but because he's one of two drivers in recent years, the other one being Martin Truex Jr., who really went through a very dark, depressing time in their career, and it really didn't look like anything was going to, you know, spark or happen for them. But they hung in there, and they, you know, did what they had to do, and they were rewarded with coming out of that with some sunshine placed upon them. They really came through, and that's such a cool story. I really like that that happened to them. They're great guys, and, you know, it's just a cool story. I don't really have a lap down. I didn't see the ARCA race. I didn't see the Xfinity or the truck races. The cup race is the only one I saw. So I guess I'm going to put myself a lap down for only seeing one of the races. Anyhow, I'll talk to you later. Hope all is well. Bye.
Always good to hear from Kathleen. Kathleen Bum, you weren't able to make it to the race this weekend. Maybe we'll catch you in August. Yeah, you made some good points there with Bowyer and being able to kind of rejuvenate the career there. I know the old saying goes, change of scenery sometimes can make a world of difference, and I think that's one of the things we're getting here this season with Mr. Clint Bowyer. All right, we got one more call on the Wave Around Hotline. Let's get to it.
Hey there, Brandon. This is John. Twitter handle, D-Nator. Oh, gosh. We got a race. Well, how about that? A pretty wet one throughout the weekend. Well, let's see. Lucky dog. I'd say, gosh, that bonus episode. Wow, Friday when I saw that on Podbean, boom. Like, oh, how cool. Got to hear Chloe, Cone, Cole, Matt, others. That was awesome. For my lap down, oh my gosh, that inside lane on restarts just could not get going. But, you know, as sometimes those tracks that happens, like Atlanta, and you know. Well, anyway, Brandon, hope you're having a good one. Talk to you later. Bye.
How cool is that? John, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. Thank you for giving me the lucky dog of the weekend there. Glad you enjoyed the bonus show on Friday, as I hope all of you guys did. If you missed the fact that there was a bonus show, go check that out. Get on it. Cole Custer, Matt Tiff, Tyler Riddick, Brandon Jones, and Michigan's own Eric Jones from Friday. So definitely go check that out if you have not yet. Thank you to everybody that called in. Thank you to everyone that tweeted your responses. Hey, we're still racing this weekend, so definitely keep the tweets coming for your lap down lucky dog picks, and keep the messages coming on the Wave Around Hotline. All right, it is time for some fantasy. Just a reminder to get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up. So real quick, before we get to the league, some DraftKings. Man, I got a proper de-pantsing by the MOATF podcast and Mike on DraftKings. So Mike wins the best of three. Mike, if you want to keep it going, you can keep sending them. I am game. If anyone wants to play a little friendly banter back and forth on DraftKings at the name is BCrowd4, you can send me a private head-to-head. Week two of segment two, week high, went to those who picked Harvick, Christopher Bell, and Johnny Sauter. You got 129 points if you guys had the three of those guys. Tim and Chad were the two guys coming in with week high. Aaron and I had second week high in points. Not often I get to include myself and stuff on the lap traffic fantasy league. Maybe this is a sign of things to come. We each had 125. Aaron had Brad Custer and Enfinger, and I had Harvick, Custer, and Gregson. Over to the top 10 in standings. Let's see how you guys are shaping up. In first place, Jeff Legg with 230. Chad Robb is in second with 221. Rekha Porter, third, 215. Timothy is in fourth with 205. Our weatherman is in fifth with 203. Mike Elliott's in sixth with 198. Chris Lowther and Jeff Hess are tied for seventh with 197. Tommy Witt is in eighth with 194. Robb is in 10th with 188. And Matt Fossum is in 10th with 187. So it's still pretty close up there in the top 10. Over to the cumulative standings, top five cumulative. Chloe Unker still kicking ass and taking names with 1,617. Tommy Witt is in second cumulative with 1,540. John is in third with 1,512. Jeff is in fourth with 1,453. And Mike wraps out the top five cumulative with 1,440. My picks for Michigan did pretty good. Gregson finishing 10th in the truck. Custer finishing third in Xfinity. And Harvick second in Cup. I'm actually doing good. I don't want to jinx myself, but I am up to 13th. Oh, and good old MOATF is in 35th where they belong. That's right. All right, so there is still fantasy this week, even though there's no cup race. We're picking for trucks and Xfinity. That said, let's get to the picks. We head to Iowa, like I said, with the trucks in the Xfinity Series. In the trucks, John Hunter Nemechek won the truck race last year with Johnny Sauter finishing second. Does Sauter continue his momentum and pick up his fifth win in nine races? How about Noah Gregson? Finished sixth at this race last year and is off to a great start in 2018. Does he pick up his second win of the season? How about in the Xfinity Series? Ryan Preece won this race last year. Kyle Benjamin finished second. Both have run a very limited schedule in 2018. And Brian Scott finished third, who's retired. It's anyone's game. Cole Custer finished this race fifth last year. Could he pick up his first win in 2018 and get some playoff points? Which drivers in which series will take advantage of the Cup guys having an off week and make a name for themselves in victory lane? We will find out this weekend. Let's get to my picks. Over to the Truck Series, I'm going with the number 24, Justin Haley. I'm thinking outside the box for Iowa, for the trucks anyways. Xfinity, I'm riding 2 weeks in a row with Cole Custer. I'm on the Custer train, baby. No picks for the Cups. Let's see how you guys do this weekend. Don't forget to get your picks in early. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 73 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This one was extra fun. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Don't forget about the new giveaway. Big thanks to John Roberts from Race Hub for coming on today. I'm working on a guest still for next week. Hopefully we can get something lined up. The road to MIS is in the rearview mirror for now. It was a fun month. Great shows, great guests. Can't wait for the build for August. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!